Bob Olstein, Chief Investment Officer and Lead Portfolio Manager at Olstein Capital Management, is here. We're talking stocks, and this is the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they do that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly on the market, and how they put it all together. And when I talk about veteran fund managers and money managers, well, my guest is definitely a veteran. Bob Olstein is Chairman and Chief Investment Officer, Lead Portfolio Manager at Olstein Capital Management. OlsteinFunds.com, the website if you're looking for more information. Olstein, O-L-S-T-E-I-N. Bob Olstein, welcome to Money Life.
It's my pleasure.
I am not calling you old. You've been doing this for a long time, and you have a methodology that has worked for you. And before we can do anything else, we need to know what that is. What is it that makes something stand out so that you're looking to buy? What is it that makes you move away from something?
We believe the most important item in any stock we look at, our portfolio, is basically what is the price of the stock and what we see. Is it already in that price, or are we getting it at a discount, and why? And our expertise is in looking behind financial statements, adjusting them for what I call economic reality. Because in our accounting, everybody makes assumptions, and you know who makes the assumptions. It's management, and they have a vested interest in keeping earnings as high as they can for a lot of reasons, one being stock options, one how they are evaluated. The whole history behind this system is I wrote with a gentleman by the name of Ted Ogilvie, the quality of earnings report. That's what we made our notoriety in accounting back in the late 60s and early 70s. And we lambasted companies like Penn Central, some of the land development companies, and we became known as free cash flow because we made all the adjustments and reduced reported earnings down to free cash flow, which is the most important. Go ahead.
Well, I will point out that I'm not calling myself old either, but when I was learning how to do my job in the 1980s, the quality of financial statements was something that I looked at, and it was you guys who basically, oh, free cash flow. That became a thing because of stuff that I read that was yours back in the day. But let's bring that up to today's market, because we've got a market that has seemed to defy gravity, even though it's been led by sort of a smaller number of names, et cetera. So as you're looking at this situation, I recognize that obviously value is company by company, case by case. But as you're looking at this market, what do you see as the opportunity set right now?
Well, I'm going to give you an anomaly. The most important thing you need to know as a portfolio manager or analyst is the direction of the market and when it's going to change. The problem is, since the Crusades, there has been nobody, nowhere, and you know on television every day is 40 guys making predictions, who has been able to predict the market with enough regularity to profit therefrom. So now what do? We look at companies and decide whether it's an alert because they missed earnings estimates, whether it's an alert because something happened in their industry. What attracts us is then to go in there and look for something based on its ability to produce free cash flow that is undervalued relative, they're worth a lot less than the current market price. Right now, the only thing that I have about the market is not when it's going to turn. I do not remember a time in my career, and my career, as you know, goes back a long time, where I had a portfolio full of 20, 30, and 40% discounts in the portfolio, and it's like a coiled spring. I don't care about recessions. They're talking about that. It's in the prices of the stocks already. And that's where people go wrong. It's the future that counts. And what is the price and what is the real value after you make your adjustments for the, the bad news or the fake news of how they're reporting those earnings.
So,
and don't forget now, the management is control controls the adjusted earnings. Nobody looks at GAAP anymore. And that said, to answer your specific questions, we're very optimistic over the next 2 to 3 years that this portfolio should have a very decent return.
So in other words, you're going to profit from the negativity of the other guys because there's enough negativity out there that you believe that there's better opportunities. Give us a name or two that kind of personifies what you're looking at, where that negativity is, you think, holding things down, but creating an opportunity that you want to take advantage of.
Well, our biggest position right now in the portfolio is a very secret name by the name of Walt Disney Productions. Okay, they've beaten that stock up left and right. Okay, basically because they missed the number of subscribers to this new way that the entertainment industry is distributing their product. But the big thing is the product is the most important asset that you need to attract enough subscribers at the right price for profit. So when Iger just replaced the previous management, who was out there trying to build a big company and weren't worrying about profits, in our opinion, okay, Iger walks in and he says, I'm limiting the number of subscribers that we have by profitability as opposed to numbers. So they beat him up when he didn't have enough. And then when he had enough, he says, I'm cutting him. And they beat him up again because he's going to have less. They don't understand the free cash flow of this company will be eventually in the next 2 to 3 years, $6 to $7. He has ESPN, which they're saying it went from a million subscribers or whatever the number is down. The assets in Hulu, the assets in Donald Duck, the assets in Star Wars. This is a company that, in our opinion, is worth at least $130, $140 a share, maybe over the next 3 to 5 years, $200. And it wouldn't surprise me, Nelson Peltz this week took a major position in it, and it wouldn't be surprising to me that a man by the name of Warren Buffett is accumulating it as these prices do.
So that's Disney. What's something else that stands out to you right now?
Cisco. Now, there's a company that is not necessarily as cheap as Disney, but there's a company that sold for 180 times earnings back in the year 2000, okay? And we actually took our position 4 or 5 years ago down when Chambers left the company, and we bought that in the high teens, okay? And it's moved all over the place. The new CEO's now there 4 or 5 years, stopped growth at any cost. He's right in the center of where your path, communications, security, cybersecurity, etc. I think their growth rate is going to pick up. The stock is in the high 40s. We believe they have over $4 in earnings power, and that's after clipping. They're putting rights back into cash flow, and we believe that company is an $80 value. And the other thing in the accounting, which is really interesting, is they are deferring, okay, using the deferred revenue method. And you follow that deferred revenue, it's been moving up steadily. And so it's really understating their earnings. So that's another kicker there.
And what would it take for you to sell a stock like that? I mean, what's something that you had to sell recently that, I mean, did it just achieve your goals? Was it you found a faster horse? What makes you make a move?
That's a good question. Selling is one of the most important things any portfolio manager has to become accustomed to. You cannot, a great example, Netflix, which had a major move, okay, over the last 10 years. We didn't own it because it didn't meet our free cash flow quality. But at 100 and 200, we were calling it overvalued, or because the free cash flow was nowhere near where it should have been. It went up to 750, but on one day, the stock dropped $35 billion, when in fact, that all they announced was they didn't have the right number of subscribers that the analysts were making. Okay, so basically, we need to see something that deviates from our original prediction. Walgreens has been a recent sale of ours, up maybe in the high 30s, mid 30s. New president came in yesterday. It's a great company, but yet it hasn't moved in 11 years. We lost our money. It's the hardest to look at it, but we realized there was no plan going forward. The free cash flow, the CapEx, was way above the depreciation. So the free cash flow wasn't enough to justify it, and they had no plan that we could follow. So we had to swallow our pride and sell it. We're looking at it, but still looking at it, because we think every corner has a Walgreens, but they don't know how to profit therefrom. So that's a recent sale. And humbled. We get humbled a lot in this business. It's important, though, how much you lose. That determines your long-term return, not having a 10-bagger.
Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Your negativity is poison to me.
Oh, no. The negativity of the market might be poison to some, but to Bob Olstein, my guest, that's what's fueling his buys right now. He is the chief executive officer, chief investment officer, lead portfolio manager for the Olstein Funds and Olstein Capital Management. Olstein, O-L-S-T-E-I-N, OlsteinFunds.com. Now, quick and dirty is our lightning round. We put our guests to your test. If you want to test them yourself, you know, send in the tickers. But we're going to start actually with the stock that we just finished with, because you kind of jumped the shark a little bit there, Bob, but it's okay with us, because you were talking about Walgreens Boots Alliance. Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland, and Dan in Williston, Vermont, both wanted to know about it, but I'm just curious, because we know it's a sell. So very quickly, you said you're watching it. What would it take? Is it just you got to give the new management time to percolate, or is there something else that you would be looking for?
Well, are they making the right decisions that's going to turn around this continuing downgrade in their free cash flow, where you got their competitor, which we owned for a long time and still own some, CVS, going in the other direction? So it's not an industry thing. It's been management after management. They can't. They're at the same prices they were 11 years ago. The most recent manager who has left wasn't, in our opinion, qualified for the job. We didn't like her moves. But when we sold it, Chuck, the stock was in the high 30s, and that's down from 80.
Right.
And then in 3 weeks, this thing has fallen to $21, okay, 22.
Yeah.
Now, the dividend yield is big, but I don't know that they're going to be able to keep the dividend at that level. So it's not a buy just because there's a high yield. We have to see what they're going to be able to do with the dividend after they set out on their new venture, of how they're going to improve the EPS and cash flow. So we're watching it because theoretically the asset is their locations,
right,
around the country.
But,
okay,
but you got to see more than you're seeing now. You got to see more than you're seeing now to make it that Walgreens turns around from a loser.
And
a sell. And by the way, in there was a bit of a recommendation on CVS for somebody who likes the space. That was the competition. Our next two requests come from Richard in Chula Vista, California. The first is for Thermo Fisher Scientific, TMO.
We owned TMO for, I'm going to say, 2 to 3 years, and liquidated it recently, right around maybe another 100 points up. Great company. But the cash flow still does not demonstrate that it's cheap here at these prices. We need it to fall another 15 or 20%. So it's a sell.
It's a sell on TMO, Thermo Fisher. Good company, bad stock.
When do we sell?
Apparently now, if you haven't already. Richard's other request, Citizens Financial Group, CFG.
Here's a bank that's done a great job. We bought this maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, down around $20, $22. watched it go all the way up to 40, 50. But here's the story. We sold some, and we always sell some as it comes, any stock in the portfolio comes closer to our value. We take our bet down. But here's a company that has $4 in earnings power. Banks are the kicking boys now, but we believe this stock is worth somewhere between $50 and $60 a share. You have a good yield in it. We have a nice position in it, but we limit banks to no more than 0.25% of the portfolio because of the leverage. So we're full in CFG, and we think we have at least a 50% move in the next couple of years.
That's a buy on CFG, Citizens Financial Group.
Money in the bank.
Yeah, money specifically in Citizens Financial Group as the bank there. Lance in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania wants to know about Dorman. It's D-O-R-M.
Dorman is a nice little company. We had this in our small cap fund for a while and sold it, and it went much higher than we sold it. We still, again, as every stock that we go out of, we continue to follow it. We would basically buy it, okay, if it fell another 10% from its $78 price. Now, it's a good little company, automotive supplier, but price, 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 that's key and critical. That's what determines any funds, any stocks, long-term return. You got to pay the right price or you're going to have a bad investment.
And so
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
Yeah, it's not really a sell. It's kind of wait your turn. It's a buy at a better price on Dorman, ticker symbol DORM, D-O-R-M. And last, in the limited time we have left, for DA in Honolulu, Sean in Grinnell, Iowa, Pete in Bothell, Washington, and Bill in New Orleans, it's Raytheon Technologies, RTX.
Here's again an overreaction. This is a great company. They make the Pratt & Whitney engines for the aircraft. They have a lot of, you know, the meters in the aircraft, etc. Well-run company, great balance sheet. They ran into a problem with a big motor, one of the Pratt & Whitney motors, and they said that it's going to take them $3 billion to correct it. So we can't understand why they took the stock down $30 billion to correct the $3 or $4 billion error. And that's just the negative psychology that's out there. We're taking advantage of that move and that price. We think the stock has moved between 110 and 120. I think because we're down on it so far. It's around 73 bucks. But that's a pretty good move from a quality company to 110, 120. And so we got a nice position in right there.
Well, then we finish on a high note.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
That's a buy on Raytheon Technologies Corp, ticker symbol RTX. And I wish we didn't have to say goodbye to Bob Olstein. Bob, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Money Life. I hope to come back and do this with us again.
I'd love it. It was very enjoyable and good luck.
That's Bob Olstein. He's the Chief Investment Officer and Lead Portfolio Manager at Olstein Capital Management, which runs the Olstein Funds. Want to learn about them? Go to OlsteinFunds.com. And you want to learn where Bob just, you know, crossed swords with some of our past guests? Well, stick around. We'll wrap up today's show. Tell you about that right after this message.